9 o'clock, Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Thanks for joining us. This Todd McShay's mock draft. He has Trey Lance going to the Broncos at number 9. We might have to start doing our mock draft of the day. Each day we'll hit a different mock draft.
That'd be fun.
We also, and this will be sometime next week, we talked about casting Super Bowl 50.
Oh, yeah. We forgot about that.
I forgot about it. We just have had other things going on. I think we're going to find a day next week that we'll do that.
All right.
I'm thinking maybe...
Friday.
No. Monday. No. It's going to be while you're here. Oh. No. It'll be either Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Just so you know.
We almost had it narrowed down.
Yeah. I'm off on Friday. Junior over there is always off on Friday. But you do work Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're both going to be off on Monday. So Cake will be at the helm on Friday with Katie, who will bring some positivity to the show.
Yes, light and positivity.
Because we suck all that out of the room every time. And just kidding, Sonny. Just kidding. And then on Monday, Buffalo Mark makes his return to the show.
Speaking of sucking the light out of a room, I'm just kidding, Mark. Just kidding.
He says Victor Hedman from Tampa Bay is still by far the best defenseman in the NHL. It's not even close.
Okay.
I like our guy Cale Makar, but Hedman is really good. We're not gonna put fisticuffs over that.
No.
But Mark will be in with Cake on Monday to do the show.
Yeah.
So Jake on the text line this morning. Can I push on 7.5 games? The Broncos will definitely win at least half of one game this season. That's good. Jake, that's some good work, Jake. That's some good work. Got one from Curtis today on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line. I'm going with the under on the Broncos because they have to stay healthy on both sides of the ball in order to have a winning record. With Drew Lock being starting quarterback, I do think the offense will be better, but I still think they're 2 years away from getting a winning record. From Dan. Hey, fellas, I know you two are not Drew Lock lovers. I don't hate Drew Lock. I just need to see more from him. Number one, stay on the field from a health standpoint. Has to get better at taking care of the football. Not just picks. I'm talking about getting strip sacks. He needs to do a better job taking care of the football. He's among the worst in the league last year.
I don't hate him, but I'm very much he's not very good camp. You know, that's all.
I'm not sold on his ability to be this team's starting quarterback.
Right.
And Dan agrees, says, well, neither am I necessarily, but a question, has he ever had two seasons with the same OC? Maybe Denver's going to give him a chance. He's still in the competition in-house, though. Have a good day.
That's a good point.
Yeah, Rich Scangarello, and now he's had Pat Shurmur.
The problem is his two seasons in a row with the same OC is going to be Pat Shurmur. That's not going to do him very many favors.
Let's get one from Jared.
I love this text.
News. The Rockies have traded the All-Star game to St. Louis along with $500 million in cash. Ba-da-bum.
They're going to pay the Cardinals to host the game.
That Jake and Jared today for Qdoba, they're vying for the Qdoba today.
Mm-hmm. That one may have to go to the judges' cards.
That could very well. Those are two really good texts today. You also still have time for our GJ Golf Masters contest, which I was just talking to our little buddy JJ, our sales guy.
Emphasis on little.
That we may try to work something out with GJ Golf to do this for all the majors.
Ooh.
No, it's going to always be a Callaway Epic Driver.
Yeah.
Which we're giving away this time.
They got a simulator there? Can we go?
I believe they still do.
Test drive some of these clubs?
I think that's entirely possible. I think we could probably make that happen. So...
You get a little JJ and his little unicycle on that.
He doesn't have a unicycle. Stop being so mean to him, okay? Stop it. Be nice to him.
Little JJ in a box. Dun 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 dun. Dun, 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 I love dun, Clemson. Dun.
Okay. You through? You done?
Yeah, for now.
You still have time to get your golfer in for the Masters. Pickens are kind of slim, though. Let's be honest about it. Because who have we added this morning?
Oh, let's see. We've added Bubba Watson, Matthew Wolf, Tommy Fleetwood Mac, Siwoo Kim, Cameron Smith, Billy Horschel, Sung Ja Im, and Matthew Fitzpatrick. That's who we've added this morning.
Oh, Thobel's still out there, isn't he?
Yeah. Jose Maria lost my ball. He's still in play. He's still in play.
What about
Gary Player?
What about Oosthuizen?
Louis Oosthuizen, still in play.
Okay.
Charles Schwartzel?
A South African golfer?
Yeah.
Charles Schwartzel?
Mm-hmm. Ernie, Easy E.
There you go.
Big Earn. Big Earn, yeah.
So there's a lot of names still out there. They're just not Dustin Johnson.
Right.
Jordan Spieth.
Lee Trevino, I believe, is still available.
Lee Trevino. Lee Elder, I believe.
He's still available. Lee. Got a chance.
Nobody's picked Tiger yet.
Nobody's picked Tiger. Weird.
Strange. I'm not sure why. Is he not playing at the Masters this year?
I think he withdrew.
No, I'm glad Tiger's doing better.
Yes, absolutely.
We kid, but I'm glad he's doing so much better back at home. And mm-hmm. hope he's out there next year, man. Hope he's at the Masters 2022.
Yeah.
Hope he gets back on the course.
Oh, I hope he's playing golf in 2022.
Yeah, I just hope he's going to be able to walk and function normally. I mean, he had some severe fractures that take time to heal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like he's never going to walk again or anything.
Right.
It's just going to be a long, slow process. But there's a guy that can grind because he's always done that to get himself
Be Tiger.
Back. That'll be Tiger Woods.
Speaking of injuries, do you think AJ Preller is having a little bit of a panic attack?
Maybe just a little bit.
In San Diego?
Uh-oh.
Fernando Tatis?
Uh-oh. My shoulder.
My arm is broken.
Fortunately, it's...
It's just a little slight tear.
Yeah.
But they're going to have him, Fernando Tatis, on the injured list for a week or 10 days. The 10 days, and hopefully he gets to avoid surgery. But that didn't look very good when he went down. And then for the Mets, J.D. Davis got hit on the hand last night or yesterday.
Yeah.
Man.
Scary times right now.
Yeah.
For the Padres. Scary times. Dylan, how do the Rockies hit that many homers in a game? If you did not catch it, Ryan McMahon had three homers last night, but only drove in four runs.
Yeah.
How do the Rockies hit that many homers in a game and have free base runners and extras and still lose? Beyond ridiculous. Yeah, I can't argue the point.
Call that a bullpen.
Yeah, which, the other day against the Dodgers was pretty good, actually. But, particularly when... Oh, gosh, Gomber had the horrible first start.
Yeah.
I mean, the bullpen had to come in, and, well, Chichi Gonzalez is technically a starter, but came in and worked three innings, and they were able to at least give themselves a chance to come back in that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, once you get to extras, they get free, too. You know what I mean? They didn't earn their base runners, much like the Rockies didn't, and they just had a little bit better bullpen work, I guess, even though they had three straight guys or two guys with blown saves in back-to-back innings because they would take the lead. The Rockies would tie it.
Yeah. Wasn't pretty.
Yeah.
Wasn't pretty.
I figured out those runs are unearned, most of them. The California speed-up rule.
Mm-hmm.
So is there... Now we have to create a stat, right? Is that an inherited runner scored? How does that work?
That's a great question.
Because if it's not an earned run... Because he's already on base. He didn't earn his way aboard. He just got dropped out there like a paratrooper. You know, how do you account for that in your numbers? This is going to be an interesting thing, for arbitration and free agency and stuff like that. For relievers. Because how do you equate how good you are in the extra innings now?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Where's Brian Kenny? We need more sabermetric numbers on this.
No kidding. Read a really good book recently that I was going to recommend to you.
Yeah.
So You Think You Know Baseball, and it's all questions like this, all and just weird scoring plays.
Mm-hmm.
It was a really, really good book.
It's that time of the year, too, because here in about a month and a half, we're going to have something happen.
So here's how it's laid out. The runner on second doesn't count against the pitcher's line. For scorekeeping purposes, the designated runner is considered to have reached on an error, though no error will be charged to either team. If the designated runner scores, it's an unearned run. So that's how it's being scored. As if he reached on an error.
Won't you have him hit and see if he can...
Okay.
You know what I mean? I just...
But that's where... You keep going back to that.
I know.
But this is where we are right now.
I know.
With the speed up rule. And like I've said, I'm fine with it. I think it would be better if you go back to the top of the order for both teams in extra innings. I'm fine with, I think that would be, I think, a really good solution for this. Your top hitters, it's like the shootout in hockey. You want your best, mm-hmm. your best offensive players to have a chance to win the game for you. And you do that for both teams. Just reset to the top of the order.
And once you get to the 13th, you take the pitching machine, you put it at home plate, and you have it rocket balls into okay. center field okay. and see if guys can throw okay. out the runner from second.
Okay, now you're just being an absolute jerk about this.
I know. That's kind of my calling card. I don't like it. It's not the same game. The game changes fundamentally in extra innings. At least basketball, football, hockey, while sometimes the personnel is different, especially in hockey, the game is the same. You don't have a reliever coming in starting a fresh inning, but there's a runner on second. It's, I don't know. I'm not a fan.
But how is it different than with the NHL, like with a shootout? Because that's different. True.
But it is so remarkably different from the actual playing of the game. This is just giving somebody, it's like saying, you know what, we're going to have a shootout, but you get two guys and the goaltender has to stop because we're putting an extra runner on second. If you want to change the game, fine. Make it something different. Don't just be like, all right,
well,
now here you go. Here's a runner.
But once again, okay, we're... It's here, but do I think this is the biggest problem for baseball? No, it's not the biggest problem.
No.
There are other pace of play issues that remain a problem for Major League Baseball. But then again, like I said, to start out all that time ago, back at 7 o'clock this morning... Baseball is a game that is a slow-paced game.
Right.
And I don't know if you can make it... And no sport. There's nothing out there that's done in 2.5 hours. Remember the XFL, how they were mm-hmm. going to speed up the game? And there are a lot of good things the XFL that I really liked yeah. about the second iteration.
Speeding up the game wasn't one of them.
But it wasn't like the game was dramatically faster. Games are still like about 3 hours. 3 hour, 3.5. I mean, they were...
Star Wars movies are 3 hours now. Like, Jedi was a nice Snyder tight cut, 98 minutes.
Snyder Cut Justice League is 4 hours long,
That's
people.
A five-day movie.
I'm just saying that there comes a point where you have to, if you're baseball, accept what you are.
Yes.
Can you make some tweaks and make things better? And I think the California speed-up rule, I don't have a problem with it.
If you want to speed up the game, that's fine.
But you're
speed it up from the start.
But there are other things that, you know, batters stepping in and out of the box. They've, mm-hmm. they've tried to address that. I'm not entirely crazy about the pitch, the pitch clock. I just have a problem with that.
Yankees Red Sox play 9-inning games in 4.5 hours. When it gets to the 10th, all of a sudden people are like, "Wow, we got to wrap this thing up." Why does it have to speed up then? Why can't you start making the game faster from the start? Let's go through 9 innings at regular pace, but now we gotta wrap it up because we got flights to catch or whatever. That's the thing. That's what bothers me about the speeding up the game. I don't have a problem with trying to make it go faster. It's why wait until the end of the ninth?
But last night, though, I mean, even with it didn't help because you had a 51-minute weather delay.
And then they played four extra innings.
Okay, what do you want to do differently in game that's not being done right now?
If you don't make contact on a swing, stay in the box or you get a strike.
I think that's...
If you swing and it's 0-2 and you step out, you're gone. Stay in the box. You don't need to wander around. You don't need to explore the space. You're not Will Ferrell on Saturday Night Live. You know, just stay there. You're fine.
How much time do you need to gather your thoughts when you're down 0-2?
Absolutely. You know, you don't need to cycle through signs with nobody on base. You know what I mean? You don't get a pitch. Let's get going here, fellas. Like, no. Let's go through them again. Well, it's the same options.
So that's one thing.
Right. And for the pitcher, it's like when he does the, let's go through. Well, it's the same options. The menu has not changed.
Yeah.
Pick one. You can't order off the menu. This is not in and out.
So what's the outcome? How do you manage that?
You
the hitter, you can So I'm going to call a strike if you get out of the box.
Yeah, if the pitcher takes too long, it's a ball.
Okay.
You know, and then he's forced to throw the ball.
I'm just asking the questions here because you have some definitive ideas on this. But that, to me, still does not exclude what they're currently doing. Who's there when it's the 18th inning? Outside of the teams.
I think maybe five wives have even gone home at that point.
So that's the point that I make about extra inning games. You would like to have, and for teams catching flights, I know you were saying that kind of...
Tongue-in-cheek, but...
But there's some...
There's truth. Merit to
there's,
it, yeah.
There's truth to that. And so at some point, I think you just have to... You have to accept some of these things are, they do make some sense, but they could be, it could be better. It could be with having the top of the order hit in extra innings. I think that would be a big help in making it more palatable to people. The things you're saying absolutely should be done. And Major League Baseball's kind of sort of tried to address it over the years, but not really. But once again, baseball by its own nature is a slow, methodical game.
I know we both love to say, it is what it is.
And you can do some of these things, and that's fine. But you're never going to have every game be done in 2.5 hours. It's not going to happen.
No, I think if you...
Unless you're going to expand the strike zone to the point where it's, you know, it's
Angel
like...
Hernandez levels.
Exactly.
Who was then maybe his brilliant can, self again last
then
night.
Then maybe you can have a guarantee the games will be over in 2.5 hours.
I understand the want for the games to be over, but I'm with you. It's the draw of baseball sometimes is the fact that we don't know how long this inning is
going to go. And it's leisurely.
It's leisurely. And some people don't like that, and that's fine. Maybe baseball's not for you. You know, I love the pace of baseball. Baseball games, when you're at home, take forever. When you're at the ballpark, it's done in like 45 minutes.
It flies by. It seems like time at all has gone by.
It's like 1 o'clock first pitch, and as soon as you know it, the sun's down, you're walking, you're here like, wait a second. How did this happen? Because it's a great time. I love the game. And that's just the thing is it's like, stop trying to change the game that people have loved for 100 years for something that you may or may not need.
And I'm fine with improvements. I'm fine with things that make it more streamlined. But you're only going to be able to do so much of that. You're only going to be able to shave off 2 minutes, maybe 3 minutes, maybe 5 minutes off a game. Maybe.
Right.
I mean, we're not talking about, wow, if we all the things you're suggesting and the current extra innings rule, that all of a sudden we're going to see an hour and a half lopped off a game. Not going to happen.
No. Pitch better. Don't just throw gas down the middle. What Mark Burley got through a complete game in what, an hour and 41 minutes?
Yeah.
And this was like 10 years ago.
Exactly.
This wasn't like back in the day, you know, with Herb's score or whatever.
Yeah, it wasn't like it was 55 years ago or something like that.
If you foul off five balls and you can't put it in play, you're out. We're done.
There we go.
We're not doing 25 pitches.
And that's okay, too.
You can't put it in play, go sit down, let somebody else try.
And I don't have a problem with that. I think that's fine. There are some things about baseball that, like I said, could be streamlined, could be refined.
Yeah.
But could make the game better without ruining the essential essence of baseball. All right. Still have time to get your golfer in for a GJ Golf Masters contest and win that Callaway Epic Driver from GJ Golf, located over by Fisher's Liquor Barn. So get that in. Please include your first name, last name. And we have a lot of golfers already off the board. If you submit somebody that's already been taken, we'll tell you have to pick somebody else. So make sure you get that into us. You have until 10 this morning to do it. 970-242-1340.
Chuck getting in Will Zalatoris.
Okay. Very good.
Is that even a real person?
Sure.
I don't know. Apparently he is.
All right. We're going to play a new game called The Number Game. And
yes.
What we're going to do is give you a chance to win the small antipasto salad from Junction Square Pizza, 7th and Main. Been doing their Detroit-style deep dish since 1977 here in town. Here's the question. Laurie Walker's number is going to be retired this summer in August, I believe, August 21st, when the Rockies take on the Diamondbacks. Only two other players in Rockies history outside of Laurie Walker have sported the number 33. You have to give us both of them. First correct answer on the text line, 970-242-1340. Who are the other two players in Rockies history to wear the number 33? You have to give us both. First correct answer wins. If you've won the last 2 weeks, you don't win. Send it to us right now, 970-242-1340. Little number game.
Yeah.
Chance to win with Junction Square, downtown Grand Junction. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Cody Rourke, host of the Locked On Broncos podcast, will join us next on the Jim Davis Show.
Craptastic.
That's just crap.
The team presents the Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, the team.
Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios on the Team Sports Network. Over under on the Broncos. Wise guys have Denver at 7.5 for this season. With Drew Lock at quarterback, over or under for the Broncos? So give us your thoughts on that. You still have time with our GJ Golf Masters contest to get your golfer in for your chance to win that Callaway Epic Driver from GJ Golf. Please send us your golfer. And please include your first name and last name. If your golfer has already been taken, Buckeye Boy will text you back and say, hey, got to pick somebody else.
We do have a number game winner, though.
Very good. Oh, let's go ahead and roll it out here.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Congratulations to Kim, Chris Jones, and Justin Morneau.
Oh, yeah. Well, fellow Canadian, eh? Yeah. Justin Morneau doing that to honor Larry Walker. Mm-hmm. So congratulations to Kim on that.
Yeah. They should have done that when the Cardinals came to town. He played for the Cardinals.
Yeah, that would have been nice. Yeah. But that's going to be when
there's
the Diamondbacks
come to town. There's
nothing
else happening that weekend, right? When the Cardinals come back to town?
Probably not. No.
No other person we need to, you know, play video for or anything like that.
No, not at all. Oh, yeah, that one guy. Yeah. Future Hall of Famer, all-star third baseman Nolan Arenado. Yeah, that guy. All right, joining us right now to talk Broncos, he's the host of the Locked On Broncos podcast, Cody Rourke. Cody, welcome in once again, and a happy belated birthday, by the way, partner.
Thank you so much, gentlemen. Very very happy to be here with you guys, as always. You know, the weather is super nice now. It's one thing I really appreciate around this time of the year is that it's not as cold anymore. We got the sun out, so there's a lot of good vibes going around.
That's right, and getting ready, of course, for the draft later on this month. And I guess just your thoughts about some of the recent additions to the Broncos. We've talked about, you know, Kyle Fuller and Ronald Darby. I think that makes that Broncos secondary maybe, if not the best in the NFL, certainly one of the best on paper. But also the addition of by George Payton of bringing in some additional depth on the defensive line with signing a free agent Shamar Stephen from the Minnesota Vikings. What does Stephen bring to this team? I mean, he's got started 16 games last year, going to back up at the nose tackle spot, compete with obviously Mike Purcell to be his backup, Telvin McTeagum there as well, the young guy. So it's just basically a depth move on the part of Shamar Stephen coming to the Broncos.
Yeah, you know, and I think one thing that Denver wanted to, obviously the familiarity that George Payton has with Stephen is one of those additions, the ties that continue to bind. But you know, for the Broncos, they wanted they wanted more depth there, right? Deshaun Williams is going to be coming back as well, but you can never have enough defensive line depth in the National Football League. We all found that out with Denver last year with the variety of injuries that hit them. You know, one of the other moves, Mike Purcell, he's coming off the injury. He just had the hardware removed in his foot. He had a couple of screws in that plate removed, so he should be on track for training camp, but you know, outside of that, you do need that kind of insurance policy. He's a big guy. He's 310 pounds. He's a nose tackle. And the one thing I was told by somebody who works in the Vikings media is that he's one of those guys who's not really going to cause penetration in the backfield, or he's not going to be one of those guys that's going to really just cause that havoc for quarterbacks in the interior. However, he is going to command the attention of two blockers. You know, so if you line him up in a zero technique head up on the center, or you line him up in a one, that guard, whatever play side guard or center is there, they're going to have to double team him. That frees up a lot of opportunities for more one-on-ones with guys like Von Miller, Bradley Chubb on the outside. And even if you want to blitz your inside backers, we know Broncos do that a lot with Vic. It opens that opportunity up for them even more. So he's one of those guys that's going to command two blockers most of the time when he's put in, but it's going to more than likely be on a rotational role.
Cody Rourke, host of the Locked On Broncos podcast, joining us in the program today. Sam Darnold, now a member of the Carolina Panthers, after the Jets make the trades and their what was going to be their future star quarterback to the Carolina Panthers. the impact for the Broncos? Because there was some talk that Denver might be interested in Sam Darnold. That obviously was not the case. I guess just your takeaway on what the Darnold move by the Panthers might ultimately mean for the Broncos.
Yeah, well, the Broncos, they had exploratory talks with the Jets to see what the price would be for Sam Darnold. Denver invested in saying, hey, you know, we don't want to pay that price. Thank you anyways. So that tells me one of two things. Well, the quarterback market right now, we anticipate three quarterbacks going in the top three picks of this year's draft. Now, San Francisco is that one question mark. Who's that third quarterback going to be for them, right? A lot of people are speculating it's going to be Mac Jones, which, you know, that there's a lot of smoke right now regarding that. It's very possible. It could be Trey Lance or even Justin Fields for that matter. But for the rest of the NFL now, Carolina, you know, I don't think they're going to be in the market for a quarterback. It's certainly possible. Now the Detroit Lions have emerged as of the last couple of days of maybe becoming a team that might be interested in getting a quarterback in this year's draft, even though they just traded for Jared Goff. So I think for the Broncos, it puts them in a position to really evaluate. If one of these guys falls, and I imagine if it would be Trey Lance or Justin Fields, do the Broncos view those two guys highly enough to where they say, okay, look, we're going to use the capital necessary to move up to maybe get that guy, mold and develop. But the Broncos right now, they're just sitting and waiting. And the Atlanta Falcons are also another one of those teams. Now, there are two rumors going on. One of those rumors being that they want to trade out at number four. They're exploring conversations with teams about that. Or they're looking at taking a quarterback of the future as well. Considering Matt Ryan only has a couple years left on his deal, they want to have something in place for when that guy takes over. So the options are out there. I think that really the teams that we got to keep an eye on now, I think Detroit, I think the Atlanta Falcons, and I think maybe the New England Patriots maybe trying to trade ahead with Carolina. Maybe Carolina trades back for New England, and then they jump Denver at number eight, so where Denver picks at nine. So there are a lot of intriguing options right now, but I definitely think that if the Broncos really want a quarterback, if they believe one of those two guys will be there, they'll make a move to make that happen.
Cody Rourke, Locked On Broncos podcast with us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. The Darnold deal now means that Teddy Bridgewater probably going to be heading someplace else. The Panthers have given his agent the ability to go out and negotiate a trade. He does have $10 million guaranteed money coming from Carolina, yeah, which does create a bit of a problem for whoever goes out and gets him. George Payton knows him. George Payton was in Minnesota when they drafted Teddy Bridgewater. Do you what's the likelihood, in your opinion, Cody, that Teddy Bridgewater is in a Broncos uniform in 2021?
The only way I can see that happening is if he's willing to restructure his deal. I mean, like you mentioned, he's on tap for $10 million guaranteed. His salary next year is supposed to be around $18 million with incentives. Denver does not want to pay that price, right? Because if you bring in Teddy Bridgewater, let's say that Drew Lock and Teddy engage in a training camp battle, Drew Lock edges him out, you're paying a lot of money for a backup quarterback now. I don't think you want that, and I think Denver, they view Brett Rippon highly enough inside the organization that they want to see him continue to make strides. They do believe that Brett Rippon could be a long-term serviceable backup for the Broncos. They really, really like him. But if Drew Lock, if by chance he does take that next step in 2021, it would be a very, you know, financially risky move, even though there is familiarity between George Payton and Teddy Bridgewater. The interesting note is that Teddy Bridgewater hasn't thrown more touchdowns in a season than Drew Lock has, which is odd, considering the sample size, how long Teddy's been in the league. Now, I just don't think that things worked out for Teddy in Carolina. You know, he dealt with a variety of different inconsistencies on the offensive line. You know, his main guy and Christian McCaffrey was out for a good portion of the season. They had different wide receivers out at different points. I think that's what really impacted Teddy Bridgewater. But then again, there was a game where they did have everybody healthy. They went to Kansas City and they were competing with them. They almost beat them at Arrowhead Stadium. So I don't know. I mean, the only way I see it happening for Denver is if Teddy says, hey, I'm willing to redo my deal. And then if that's the case, if it's a lower price point, I think Denver will have interest.
Cody Rourke, host of the Locked On Broncos podcast, joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. I just saw where Nike dropped their endorsement deal with Deshaun Watson. The original accuser spoke to the media yesterday. There are more and more women coming forward against Deshaun Watson. And I guess just, you know, look, nobody in the league right now wants to touch him, and I totally understand that. What do you think ends up happening with Deshaun Watson? And a lot of people think that right now the commissioner needs to put him on the exempt list until this thing gets straightened out. Houston police are now investigating this as a criminal matter. What do you think ultimately happens with Deshaun Watson going forward?
Well, I don't think that Deshaun's going to play at all in 2021. I think, as you mentioned, I think he's going to be put on the commissioner's exempt list. I think this is going to take some time. I mean, with things like this, with allegations, they have to be seriously vetted and investigated, and that's going on right now. But we know legal processes in this matter, they can take a lot of time. I mean, obviously, there's the possibility for settlements. But, I mean, with the widespread nature of these allegations and the serious concerns behind them, I don't think that Deshaun plays a down of football in 2021. I think he's going to end up on the exempt list the entire season.
I also want your take, too, about the Aaron Rodgers situation. Aaron hosting, of course, Jeopardy, going to be the guest host for a couple of weeks, and he expressed the other day on a Pat McAfee's podcast that, look, they only tape 46 days, that he could do both, play in the NFL and also do that show. And I think he's probably right about that. He probably could pull that off. But there seems to be a sense, going back to his future being a beautiful mystery comment and all that, Cody, that Aaron Rodgers probably is not going to be in Green Bay after 2021. At least that's the feeling I get. Better likelihood of him playing for somebody else in 2022, or just goes, retires, and decides to host Jeopardy?
You know, I think he's still going to play. I still think he's got probably about 3 or 4 more years left of playing football. And I think that he's going to be with a different team to close his career. I mean, there's a lot of things, too. You can tell just by some of the shade that he throws, you know, with the contestants saying whose decision was it to kick the field goal. He loved that. I mean, that was Aaron Rodgers loved that. But for him, I mean, he's been very outspoken, and rightfully so. When you look at what Green Bay has done, rather than going out in the draft and surrounding Aaron Rodgers with some talent at the skill player position, they go out and they get Jordan Love, who we have no idea if he can even be a resemblance of what the Green Bay Packers want on offense, despite the skill players that they do have here. To me, I think that's the most intriguing part about this. Aaron Rodgers has been very outspoken of, hey, you know, surround me with some guys that I can, obviously outside of Davante Adams, that I feel like can contribute, right? Running back, tight end, whatever it may be. They could use some upgrades there, even on the offensive line. They lost a couple of key guys there. I honestly see him kind of transition out. He even alluded to it a little bit that the organization wanted to kind of slowly phase him out and bring Jordan Love in. So I see that being a reality. I think Aaron Rodgers will finish out the last three or four seasons, I think, with another team. I think it begins next year.
All right, Cody, one final question today, our Q-double question of the day. Wise guys in Vegas have the Broncos at 7.5 wins for 2021. With Locke as the quarterback, are they over or under that total?
Ooh, I'm going to go with the over right now. I can tell you this, Jim, based on talking to several Broncos players, and I know that the preparation phase is going to be different this year. The players are going to have more of an opportunity to be in building. OTAs are going to start here probably towards the end of next week or 2 weeks from now, and that's going to open things up. But Drew Locke has been putting in a lot of work. Now, a lot of people are complaining they're not seeing it on social media, but Drew Locke's been training with Lauren Lando every single week. He's been at the team facility every single day, and he's getting these guys involved in a lot of these meetings and going back and film offensive line. He's talking with Dalton Reisner about blocking schemes. They're trying to figure this out. So Drew's putting in the work. I think that with the Broncos moves that they've made on defense, with the young talent they have on offense, you have Cortland Sutton coming back, you have Tim Patrick back, you have Jerry Jeudy entering year two, Noah Fant, Albert Okwuegbunam coming off of an ACL, and then right now you have Melvin Gordon and an offensive line coming back that is relatively healthy. I believe that Denver's going to actually be above. I think they're going to go over 7.5 wins this season.
All right. I'm right there with you on it. Hey, Cody, I appreciate the time. Of course, people can check out your podcast, iTunes, Spotify, where you listen to your podcast. You can find the Locked On Broncos podcast. I always appreciate it. Thanks again.
Thank you so much, gentlemen. I appreciate you guys.
All right, take care. Cody Rourke celebrated his birthday a couple of days ago.
Nice.
Happy belated birthday, Cody. Always some good inside stuff from Cody Rourke. He likes the over on the Broncos with Drew Locke at the quarterback spot. So if you got some thoughts on that still, text or call us 970-242-1340. You still have time to get your golfer in for our GJ Golf Masters contest. Pick your golfer. If he's already been selected, we'll tell you to pick another one. But please put your first name, last name on your text to 970-242-1340. A couple of other notes are talking here. Tom Brady on the Patriot way, saying there's another way to get things done and win. He says when you're in one place for 20 years, you think that's the only way. And, well, I guess he was on Good Morning America this morning. Not sure why Tom was on there this morning, but he was on there this morning. And apparently he has found another way.
He's got nothing to do
to be successful. Also, a longtime Bengal, Giovanni Bernard. The only Giovanni that I'm aware of in the NFL these days.
I mean, yeah, I guess.
Cut by the Cincinnati Bengals.
I think He was the longest tenured back in the NFL? At, what, 8 years, I think?
Believe so. They cut him. They'll save about $4 million in cap space, backing up Joe Mixon in Cincinnati. All right, 938. We'll wrap it up with some garbage time in just a moment. Text or call us, 970-242-1340. Let's get to this day in sports history. And on this day, April 7th, go back to 1896. American athlete Robert Garrett wins the throwing double at the Olympics in the games at Athens, Greece by winning the shot put after winning the discus on the previous day. 1928, Lester Patrick, the 44-year-old general manager of the New York Rangers, comes into a Stanley Cup Finals game and against the Montreal Maroons. He replaced his injured goalie, and the Rangers win 2-1. Because remember the Patrick division back in the old days of the NHL, named after him. 1963, at 23 years old, Jack Nicklaus becomes the youngest player to win the Masters. Tiger Woods would eventually break his old mark in 97, winning at 21 years of age. 1969, Bill Singer of the Dodgers records the first save in Major League Baseball history. It was not a stat until then. Does that against the Cincinnati Reds. 1969, Ted Williams manages his first game as skipper of the Washington Senators, loses to the Yankees 8-4. 1977, the Blue Jays play in the franchise's first ever game, defeating the White Sox 9-5. 1998, Al MacInnis of the St. Louis Blues becomes the sixth defenseman in NHL history to record 1,000 career points. 2014, UConn men's basketball team beats Kentucky to win the national championship, making the second time a school has won the men's and women's titles in the same year. UConn previously accomplished that feat in 2004. 2016, Golden State becomes the second team in NBA history to record 70 wins in a season, defeating San Antonio 112-101. All right, that's a quick look at this day in sports history. Over-under on the Broncos, number 7.5 from Vegas. Do you have the Broncos with Drew Locke as the quarterback, over or under that number?
I have him under. I mean, he hasn't shown the ability to get more than five, six wins in a season, right?
I'm going to go with the over because I think he's going to be better this year. But I do also feel like Denver, I think Denver is making a commitment to him. I get that sense. I don't know. Do they move up?
I don't think that's a good thing.
Do they move up to fourth? I still feel like you've got to have. I like Brett Rippon. I'm like you. Yeah, I like Brett Rippon, but mm-hmm. I don't know if he's necessarily the kind of competition you need for Drew Locke right now.
If he was, he already would have been.
He already would have been that guy. And we had Cody Rourke on, and Cody said, "Look, the Broncos really like what Brett Rippon brings to the table." But I have
no reason to doubt Cody on that.
No, because he's pretty dialed in to what's going on at Dove Valley.
You could say he's locked on.
Or locked in.
Yeah, there you go.
In this case, locked on. Locked in would be probably the more accurate, but yeah, it is the locked on.
The wordplay, it doesn't.
It is the locked on Broncos podcast, so. He's locked in or on, either way you want to look at it.
He's locked Val in.
All right, 942, and weather's getting nicer. Getting outside, and maybe you're thinking you're driving your car around. You're driving that minivan or whatever you have. You're thinking, man, top down right now would be so cool. How about, even if it's not a convertible, just maybe that car that you had. Maybe you had a really cool old Camaro in high school. Or your dad left you this really sweet old vintage pickup truck.
Old Bel Air on the road the other day. And it was just like, bro, you need to get that tech. You're going to drive a car like that. You need to touch that up a little bit.
Absolutely. And so, but maybe you've got a car that really is special to you, car or truck.
Mm-hmm.
It's been under tarp forever. You haven't been able to really have the time, or you don't really know what you're doing to bring that back to its true glory. And even better, right? Because at Mile High Muscle, Jared Gastineau there has a complete body work, full paint bay, wiring, drivetrains, fuel inject your car, air conditioning, can make it ride like a dream. And if you can't find the perfect car, he will build it for you. So if you're thinking about doing something with that old car, truck that has a lot of emotional connection to you, make sure you give Jared a call. He'll treat that baby right. Mile High Muscle, Jared Gastineau in Delta, 990 Highway 92 in Delta. Call him today at 250-0999 or go to milehighmuscle5.com. Weather's nice. It is time to get out in a sweet-looking ride. Give him a call today. Mile High Muscle in Delta. Jared will be there waiting for you. 250-0999.
It's a good show.
By the best show around.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, 947. Jim and the Buckeye Boys still have a few minutes left up until 10 this morning to get your golfer in for our GJ Golf Masters Contest. Your chance to win a Callaway Epic driver from GJ Golf. Thanks to Ty over there once again at GJ Golf, located by Fisher's Liquor Barn over by Mesa Mall. So still have time to get that in. RJ and Delta. Send in Bryson DeChambeau.
Taken.
Taken. So RJ, you have to send us another one. Say, Kyle, good morning, fellas. Behind the eight ball in the golf pick, Victor Hovland.
Taken.
Matt Kuchar.
That's his. Okay. Kyle, you got him.
Okay. Matt Jones. So, RJ, maybe you want to grab Matt Jones. Because Matt Jones is out there, correct? Okay. So, you still have time to get that in. Text or call us, 970-242-1340. All right. On tomorrow's program, we'll talk with Palisade Volleyball coach Wendy McCaskill. Her team coming off a win over 8th-ranked Eagle Valley last night. Bulldogs are now 5-1 and playing really, really well. So we'll talk with her tomorrow morning at 8:20. And we'll also go in the garage with NASCAR Fred and J-Rod, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. So that's all coming up on tomorrow's program from 7 to 10. Okay, let's go ahead and wrap it up with a little dive into the dumpster today.
We're taking out the trash. It's garbage time on the Jim Davis Show on The Team.
Oh, I love trash.
All right, we love for this guy to be our pinata.
Yeah.
Angel Hernandez.
Oh, jeepers.
Well, he was back doing his stellar work again last night. The veteran big league umpire behind the plate as the Angels host of the Astros. And so, once again, Angel Hernandez having a major screw-up last night in that game behind the plate. Did you catch this, what he did?
Other than have no concept of the strike zone, no, I did not.
So, here's the, you got the 2-2 pitch, and it's, I mean, it's so far out of the strike zone, it's not even funny.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was
bad. And he calls a punch out. It's like missed way off the plate. Once again, reminding us why he might be the worst umpire in baseball. Let's keep it on the Astros with the Houston Astros, Zach Greinke, who during the pandemic was perfectly fine with no fans.
Yeah.
But he's now changed his mind. He said, "It's been pretty nice having fans in the stadium, actually. I thought I enjoyed it last year without them. So far, I would say it's been pretty nice having the fans. Going home will also be nice." Zach Greinke, a quirky guy.
A little bit.
And how can you say, initially, you're okay with no fans? How do you sell that to your fan base, to ticket holders, that, hey, I really would prefer you not be here?
Yeah. It's Greinke. I mean, you got to take kind of grain of salt stuff.
All right. What do you have?
I don't really have anything.
You don't have anything?
Okay. No. I'm getting back to a couple people about golfers already off the board. We got about 10 minutes left here.
All right. I mentioned this earlier when Cody Rourke was with us. Nike suspends their endorsement deal with Deshaun Watson over all the allegations. He's now being sued by 22 women. They claim that they were sexually assaulted by him. So Nike dropping their endorsement of him for this whole scandal involving a massage therapist that had, you know, now said 22 women have come forward to go after him. And now the Houston Police Department is also involved in this as well. And there's a growing chorus of people that really think that Roger Goodell needs to put him on the exempt list until this all gets straightened out. Mentioned Tom Brady had the comment about the Patriot way, that there are other ways to do it. Tom Brady says, you know, I've always been motivated by people doubting me, and I still feel the same way. So Brady was talking with Michael Strahan about that as part of his motivation his first season with the Buccaneers. And, you know, he's that guy, he's like Aaron Rodgers, that remembers every team that didn't draft him. Remembers, you know, he was a six-round guy and memorized the names of the six quarterbacks taken before him in the 2000 NFL draft. And so even now, at the age of 43, coming up on 44, the guy is still motivated by the same stuff that motivated him when he was drafted back in 2000.
That's not a surprise. He's going to find motivation where he's going to find it. Some of the greats do that.
All right.
It's warranted or not.
Exactly. Move on to the NBA for a moment. Sam Amick, really good writer for The Athletic, covers the NBA, has a list of MVP candidates. Do you know who is his number one MVP candidate right now?
Should be the Joker.
It would be one Nikola Jokic, who's moved up a couple of spots. Says Jokic's body of work has been a sight to behold, and it matters a great deal that the Nuggets have been just good enough defensively, 16th in the league in defensive rating, to keep him from losing too many votes because of the perceived weakness on that end. Giannis Antetokounmpo, number two on his list, by the way. Damian Lillard from the Trailblazers. So he gets overlooked a lot.
Yeah,
he's really, really good.
I saw a tweet last night that said Will Barton is going to be the reason Nikola Jokic doesn't win the MVP. Because he gets so many good looks but doesn't knock him down.
I agree. I'm not as enamored with Will Barton as a lot of people are.
I'm not either.
I think that was money poorly spent by the Nuggets. Though Will played fine last night. I just think now with Michael Porter Jr.'s emergence, Aaron Gordon there, I don't know if Will Barton necessarily is a needed piece for this team going forward.
No.
All right. So that's a quick look at Garbage Time. And do we have a winner for Qdoba today?
Because we do. Talking,
okay. Who do we have? Let me go ahead and hit it. Here we go.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
You know I love good snark. Jared's was good snark today. Trading the All-Star game to the Cardinals and sending them $500 million. That's great snark.
That was
Jared
solid.
Jared gets some Qdoba.
Solid work, Jared. Well done. All right, so Jared wins Qdoba today. Once again, join us tomorrow morning at 7. We will, of course, give you a chance to play Who Is It Tomorrow? Pyle's favorite game on a Thursday. That's tomorrow in the garage of NASCAR Fred and J-Rod, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan, also Palisade volleyball coach Wendy McCaskill on tomorrow's program, and maybe a JUCO coach tomorrow, too. We might be working that in as well in tomorrow's program. All right. Jim Davis Show brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook. One of the best things about golf is a gimme. It's a sure thing. So if you want to start betting on golf, FanDuel has a gimme just for you. New users can get 20-1 odds on the world's number one player, Dustin Johnson, or Rory McIlroy, or a player that a lot of people are putting money on right now, Jordan Spieth, just to make the cut at the Masters. That's right. Take your pick. You get 20-1 odds on three of the world's best golfers just to make the cut. And you can win $100 on a $5 bet. There isn't much more of a gimme than that. And when you win, FanDuel will pay your winnings in as little as 24 hours. The world's best golfers tee off in Augusta starting tomorrow. And there are even more ways to win with America's number one sportsbook. Just create your account by using the promo code KTMM to get 20-1 odds. That's KTMM, your promo code only on FanDuel Sportsbook. 20 and older, present, Colorado and users only, must wager in designated offer market. $10 first deposit required. $100 max bonus. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.